Good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law, hour number two. We're on from 6 to 7 this morning, again from 8 to 9. If you have a legal question, the law office is open on this D-Day as we celebrate our great country and some of the things in history that have gone on. So if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. 800-969-9352. And the phone lines are open. And the question can be about wills, trusts, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care surrogates, living wills. Got into a little bit about grandparent visitation this morning on the first show. We had John Frazier, our Medicaid attorney, come on. We had a Medicaid question. We had a question about how to restrict assets going to like a 20 till a child gets to be 25. The father was concerned the mother might take the money and do unwise things, or maybe he didn't say this, but self-benefit of the money, and he wanted to make sure it was all used for the child, how to do that. Any question you have, we had a question about paying water bills and having renters and whatever your question is, whatever maybe kept you up during the night, whatever you've been concerned about, whatever you'd like to know more information about, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. I'm more than glad to help you. I'm here to help you in any way I can. You have a toll-free number. So the toll-free number you can call the show is 800-969-9352. So you have 1-800-969-9352. And if you have a legal question, there's no such thing as a dumb question on this show. If you have something you'd like to ask that you just don't know, probably lots of other people in the same boat as you are, and hearing us talk about it helps you and helps them as well. 1-800-969-9352. You're listening to a live show on this D-Day 6621. And it is 8:09 in the morning. Yep, the law office was open at 6, and now it's open again at 8 o'clock until 9. So I would like to tell you that I am speaking at a couple of seminars this week. And they're open, well, the one I'm going to tell you first is open to the public. It's in Sun City Center. It's sponsored by the Pant Wealth Financial Group. And they'll have Tom Pant will be speaking about the possible new tax changes going to be happening and the new capital gains, possible tax changes, and how all that affects your financial planning, your retirement planning, and your estate planning. And I'll be talking about, is any of this going to affect your will or trust? Is any of this going to affect how you plan your retirement account? What are the impacts of all this possible changes? So, of course, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we certainly can discuss various possibilities of what could happen and what, if anything, you can do about some of this. If you'd like to attend the seminar, it's free. It's Tuesday and Wednesday, the 8th and 9th at 4 p.m. And if you'd like more information or make a reservation, you can send me an email to Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe at attypip.com. You can call our toll-free number 1-800-226-3529 and tell them you'd like to make a reservation. And either way, email or telephone will give that number to the Pants and they will confirm your reservation and give you more information. If you'd like to call the show today, you have open lines and a toll-free number, 1-800-969-9352. Maybe something bothered you during the night or something that you'd like to have more information about. Be more than glad to help you. And speaking about retirement accounts there, how do retirement accounts fit into your estate plan? Well, that's a good question because a lot of times retirement accounts just have a named beneficiary. They have a named beneficiary, and if you name the beneficiaries directly, then that's okay. That's what most people do. But if you want to control the beneficiary to be distributed over time, it might come into a trust. There just has to be special language in the trust to not cause an adverse tax situation. So most people, I'd say, just have named beneficiaries. Sometimes it comes up if you want to give some money to churches or charities. The situation is it'd probably be better to do that directly instead of having it come into a trust, because the trust, that would, once it comes into the trust and then gets distributed out to individuals, there's a tax implication. Let's go to Sandra in St. Petersburg. Hey, Sandra.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a question regarding probate and banks. My father has, it's not a large amount of money. It's only like $600 in his savings account. He died back in November of 2015. What is the, I don't know the terminology that I need to use, but how long is it from the time that he passes to the time that I can get that money out from probate? And what is the process that I need to go through?
Well, there is no deadline, I don't think. Wherever the money is could possibly turn it over to the state of Florida if it's an inactive account. But you
it
can
is.
Still access...
It's an inactive.
It's gone to the state of Florida already? Because you can make
I
a claim.
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, either way, it's at the bank or with the state of Florida. You can access the money through probate. There's no timeline on when that can happen. So, basically... How much was your dad's funeral bill?
Oh, he went to Arlington Cemetery.
So there's no cost?
No, there was not.
Were there any last medical bills or anything you can get your
no.
hands on?
No, nothing. He had
did
no
he have
estate.
A will? Did he have a will?
He did not. He did not.
How many children
and the
were there?
Just my brother and myself.
Well, for $500, you could probably do what's called as there, all of the creditors, if there were any, disappear after 2 years. So you and your brother are entitled to the $500. And you could possibly try to do it yourself for that amount of money through a summary administration. If there's funeral costs or funeral bills or last medical bills that exceeded that of money, you could have done it with a procedure called without administration. If none of that exists, then you're probably going to have to do a summary administration. And either try to do it yourself or get an attorney to help you for $500. The attorney fees might be that much.
Yeah, exactly.
So it wouldn't be any,
exactly.
It wouldn't
right
be
now,
any gains.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry?
Yeah, so you might want to try, since the attorney fees would be more than you would obtain, you might try to do it yourself. It's so
okay,
you'd want
a
summary,
summary of administration?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And where do I start to do that?
The you're calling from St. Pete. There's you could go down to the St. Pete Courthouse, and there used to have a library with forms and books that might help some people on something like this matter. So either you could call the clerk of the court and ask him where you might possibly get some forms from the court to help you in the matter. And either the St. Pete clerk of court or the Clearwater clerk of court might be able to help you, direct you to where the forms might be.
Okay, because right now it's not a whole lot of money, but it's the principal.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Okay, good enough. Cause everything
all right, Sandra,
we've,
thanks.
We've,
okay,
thank
helps.
You. Right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Let's go to Bob in St. Pete.
Good morning, Joe. Hey, I wanted to thank you for the reference you gave to me for one of your attorneys about a will that I was going to contest last week. But my question today would be what keeps probably most people away from your office is, Joe, what kind of paperwork would you have to bring to you to do a will set up for me, my wife and I or our two daughters? And what kind of costs are we looking at for that for doing something like that. I had another question, but I can't remember what it was. But I'll hang up, and if you can answer those, I'll listen.
Well, no, don't hang up. Just stay there for a second, because I might see if you have follow-up questions. All right, so what's needed to bring to the office? Well, generally, what I need to know the names of your family members you're going to include as either the executor, personal representative, or beneficiary, and just need their names. I need to know who you're going to put in charge of the estate, how you want your money distributed. I need the ages of your children, see if I have to do any special clauses to have them wait till certain ages to receive the money and so forth. So mainly it's just questions. You really don't have to bring any paperwork. If you brought anything, it might be a one-page summary of the assets so we can figure out what's in the estate and how it would be dealt with. We have a fee schedule on our website, attypip.com. And wills are on there like $150 each. Power attorneys are like $150 each. If you did a trust package for a married couple, it's $895. That includes a joint trust, two wills, two power attorney health care surrogates, living wills, and a deed. But all that's kind of spelt out. If you did a will package, two wills, two power attorney health care surrogates, two living wills, looks like $750. If you did the trust package, it's $895. All that's spelt out on the website under the fee schedule. So we like to tell people their fees ahead of time so they don't fear the fees, and it's not really that much you have to bring. The most you probably have to bring is a one-page summary of the assets.
Wonderful. Awesome. Great answer. I appreciate that. And we're going to make an appointment to come and see it. You know, we've been putting it off way too long, and if something happens, I want to just be able to have my family take care of everything nice and easy.
Well, that'd be great. I'd love to help you.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
I'd love to help you. I'd love to help you. Thank you very much.
No problem, Joe. You have a great weekend. Thanks again.
All right. You too. Let's go to Don in St. Pete. Don, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What can I do for you?
I was wondering if you could tell me anything about this Veterans Treatment Court I've been hearing about.
The Veterans Treatment Court?
VTC, yeah.
Is that sponsored by Stetson Law School?
I don't know. I think Senator Rusin has something to do with it. It helps veterans in the judicial system in Pasco and Pinellas counties what is this, the 6th Judicial District here?
Yeah, so what question would you have? You know, I think the Stetson Law School and maybe the courts and various groups have set up.
Stetson might have something to do with it then. Okay.
I can look into it more, but I don't really have much knowledge sitting here. But I know there are several assistances that are provided to veterans through, I think Stetson has formed something.
Okay.
There's some other
evidently,
vet agents.
Veterans Treatment. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Evidently, Veterans Treatment Court is actually a judge in the courthouse has a specific court focused on veterans, and I just been hearing guys talking about it, so I want to find out. And heard your program and thought maybe you had heard something about it. So I should.
No, I don't know that much about it, but I'll definitely look into it. So I'll be better prepared to answer questions like that in the future.
Yeah. All right, and today is Normandy invasion, so.
Yeah, D-Day, so.
Yeah.
Very good.
Operation Overlord.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Mike and Brandon.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, Mike. And you?
Oh, I can't complain. But here's my question for you, Joe. I have a property down in Port St. Lucie, and with property valuations going up, I am getting, constantly, either phone calls, text messages, or solicitations. And what I was thinking is putting the property in a land trust. What would that entail, or would that meet my needs of keeping it somewhat anonymous?
Well, land trust is good for secrecy if you're going to buy something into the land trust. So if you already own it and someone was really looking to see who their owner was, they could look at the land trust and then look for the previous owner and it's you, so they could might be able to figure out or guess that it's your property anyway. So just by changing it from the public records, which is in your name now, to a land trust, may or may not help you with secrecy of who owns it. So are okay. you worried about okay. lawsuits or protecting it from a lawsuit?
No, I'm just tired of the solicitations. I have no intentions of selling it, and I'm tired of keeping block. You know, I continuously block these phone numbers and whatever, and I understand why they're doing it, because you know the property valuations are going nuts. But I have no intentions of selling it. It's just a lazy way of trying to stop them. But also, my understanding is with a land trust, it's easier to transfer the property to someone else anonymously.
Well, yeah, the trustee of the trust could transfer it to another land trust, for example. If they transfer it out of the land trust to a person, then that person's going to be on the public records just like you are. So, but the trustee, you could create a land trust. You could hire someone to be the trustee of the land trust. There's instructions okay. in the trust that you probably have a life interest, at least in the trust. And there's a remainder beneficiary named in the trust who gets it if you pass on, giving the trustee instructions to do that.
Can the trustee be a family member, or does it have to be a non-family member?
Well, who the trustee is a third party. Then their name's going to be on the public records.
Oh, I see. Okay. So it's a lot more involved than I thought. I thought this was, I guess I had a misconception, so I really need to do my due diligence and read up on it then.
All right, but don't answer the calls, and any literature you get, throw it away. That's one solution.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Thank you very much. I enjoy your show.
Is this an undeveloped piece of property in St. Lucie?
Yes, it's undeveloped.
So it's not one of those properties where they built all the streets and never built anything, is it?
No. It's land. It's property that my parents, when they were in the early 70s, they bought it from General Development in the Port St. Lucie area. There's a whole bunch of little plots there, and they bought three, actually. And this is the last of the three, which I purchased from my mother. So, yeah, it's just a quarter acre just sitting there growing trees.
All right. Well, very good. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number. It's 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352 is the toll-free number. If you have a legal question, I'd be more than glad to help you. I was talking to a client this week. It wasn't actually a client. It was a friend who lived down in South Florida. And her husband had died, and the husband's trust said to give the property to the wife free and clear. So it's a long story, but they tried to give her a quitclaim deed, deeding the property to her. But the deceased husband had borrowed money from his mother, who had a mortgage on the property. And when they tried to give her a quitclaim deed, it was later, after the deed was issued, it was later discovered there was a mortgage still on the property. So we're working on getting that all undone. Let's go to Clayton in Newport Richey. All right, Clayton, you need to cut your radio off or down.
Okay.
All right, what can we do for you?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What can I do for you?
Yes, I'm in the Newport Richey area, and I live in a mobile home park with a HMO, and I was had a sum I owe $2,500 on my maintenance fee with the pandemic and everything I'm behind, and I was served a summons yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean?
That means you need to have an attorney respond to the summons and answer it, or they'll get a default judgment against you.
Right.
Hey, I need to put you on hold and ask if you can stay with us on the other side of the break we have to take right now. Can you do that?
Okay.
I'll be,
Okay,
right,
yes.
All right, all right. All right, you're listening. You're asking an attorney all about Florida law. We'll put her on hold, and we will be right back after a news break. Stay tuned. All right, it's a Legal Matter, baby. I'm attorney Joe Pippin. Ask an attorney all about Florida law. If you have a legal question, the law office is open. You have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open. Be more than glad to help you if I possibly can. All you have to do is to dial that number. Let's go back to Clayton in Newport Richey.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, so you were served papers on a foreclosure because of non-payment of maintenance fees in a mobile home park. Is that the summary of your question?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you have 20 days.
I own the home, and then I have a share for the property. And my understanding with a governor to be evicted, there was June 1st was the day. I have not received an eviction notice, but I wanted to know about that.
Yes, I'm here. So if you haven't received an eviction notice, then you know you don't have to worry about it till you get the notice. If
right.
If you have the notice, you get the notice and you would like to negotiate or contest the notice and make your case. I'm not sure if they've lifted the foreclosure eviction rules yet or not.
It started with the M, Mr. Joe, manatorium or something.
Yeah. Yeah, they've restricted foreclosures and evictions. Now, all of those
is
rules
that for owners and renters or just the renters?
It'd be both. On evictions, it would be both. Are you an owner
or
a renter?
It would be both. Okay.
Are you an owner or a renter?
I'm an owner.
Okay.
And then I have a share for the property.
Well, if you're an owner, I don't think they're going to evict you. They're going to foreclose on you and try to take the ownership back.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to probably need an attorney to navigate yourself through this and see if you can buy some time to get this thing paid off. Do you have income coming in or expected income to where you can?
I just got a job 2 weeks ago. Yes.
Well, you should be able to negotiate a payment plan with that good news.
Yes. But do I need to go in front of a judge or?
Well, if you have an attorney that can negotiate a payment plan for you, you might not have to.
Okay. So I would talk to the attorney that's associated with the homeowners association, or I need to get my own attorney?
You probably need your own attorney.
Mm-hmm.
You could try to negotiate with the attorney of the homeowners association, but if that doesn't go well or go south real quick, you're definitely going to need your own attorney.
Okay. Do you have a cost of how much?
I could give you the name of one to talk to if you want to email me.
Okay.
Or my email
address. Oh, I sure do appreciate you.
All right. Well, no
problem. You know, it's so wonderful, the state of Florida, and you are here to help us navigate the laws because they do change, you know.
Yeah. So my email address is just Joe, Joe, at attypip.com.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
you
very much.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. We have less than 20 minutes left in the show today. So if you want to call the show, you have a toll-free number, which is 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open. That question makes me think of people that do estate planning and own a share of the park. How do you get that into a, how do you get that to avoid probate? Well, shares of parks can, you can assign, do the assignment of interest of the share to a trust. And then when you die, the share is not in the name of a deceased person, it's in a living trust that avoids probate. That's how you get your ownership shares of parks. You don't have a deed. If you had a, if you owned the land underneath and had a deed, then we do a deed, quitclaim deed, to the trust to avoid probate. If you have a share of the park, then we do an assignment of interest of the share of the park to the trust to avoid probate. Let's go to David in St. Petersburg.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Hey, David.
Hey, I was curious about some asset protection. I was just wondering if you could give me a general idea as far as a good rule of thumb for having an umbrella policy with the amount of assets that you own.
Well, that's standard advice, really, for one of the things you can do is have an umbrella policy. So you can get $1 million umbrella policy for, I don't know, $600-$700 and maybe less, usually. That's over top of your car and home insurance. So if you get sued, that's a, they usually, you have enough in the umbrella policy to keep lawsuits from taking your personal assets. So,
is there a general rule of thumb with how much assets you own as far as increasing that umbrella?
Yeah, some people have $2 or $3 million umbrella policies. It really depends on the size of your own estate.
Yeah, so if
you
I
know, the more
you're
you
under,
have, the
under
higher
$5 million, would you?
Yeah, well, some people with $5 million would do a $5 million umbrella policy. You know,
okay.
Damages, you have to look at the probability of damages. So if you caused a multi-car accident on I-4, I mean, there could be, you know, millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
You run over a young doctor riding a bicycle, you know, in the community or something, you know, and the lost wages on that would be huge. So you just kind of have to weigh all that. And it's really just a peace of mind question. How much insurance would you feel comfortable with having and paying for to give you the peace of mind that you're protected, you know, if it's at least up to that amount?
Okay. All righty. Thank you much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The phone lines are open. And in the remaining 15 minutes or so, you have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open, 800-969-9352. I'd be more than glad to try to help you. You're invited to a seminar this week, this coming week, the 8th and 9th at 4 p.m. in Sun City Center. Seminar is hosted by the Pant Financial Wealth Group. Tom Pant will be one of the speakers. I'll be one of the speakers. And basically, the topics will be the new Biden administration, possible tax changes, and how they affect your will or trust, how they affect your taxes, how they affect your retirement planning, how they affect your retirement accounts after death. All of those topics will be discussed. Also be a question and answer period. And also there's refreshment serves, including, I think, after the seminar over, a little glass of wine and some refreshments. If you'd like to attend, it's free. And the toll-free number, you can call my office and say you'd like to come. We'll take your phone number and give it over to the Pants, who will confirm your reservation. You could email me as well, and we'll send that to them and get them to confirm your reservation. So the email address is Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. And the toll-free number is 1-800-226-3529. Let's go to Sam in Tampa.
Hey, good morning. I talked to you a long time ago. I almost have a funny question, I hope, but I know you can sue anybody for anything, but we were doing the paperwork before we made the first appointment to a clinic, a specialty clinic, a doctor. And a part of the paperwork says, no matter what the case, you cannot sue for negligence if they treat us. It says a lot about them, but they cannot do that, can they?
Well, they can do that, and you could possibly sign it, but it's very possible that wouldn't stick.
You mean I would not be able to sue them if they were flagrant or negligent?
No, I'm saying you probably could. If they were negligent, you know, they can put all that stuff in the contract, but if they're negligent, first of all, this is a doctor. I'm sorry, I missed the first part of who was getting you to sign that.
Yes, it's a doctor. It's a clinic. It's a big one.
Well, if they took you were going to have a operation to have an arm or a leg removed for whatever reason, and they took off the wrong one, you know, they took the one that you could use and they removed the wrong one, then that's negligence, right? And I think
absolutely.
You definitely have, you'd have a lawsuit against them. And getting them to sign something, I can't believe they would even, they could be, I think you'd still have the right to sue them under those circumstances.
Well, I agree with you 100%, but, you know, it says something about what they're doing. They do a lot of surgeries. If they screw one up and kill somebody or maim them for life, or if they're flagrant, you can certainly still sue them, and it would certainly stick. It seems like having that thing in their contract would even make them more guilty or appear more guilty.
Yeah. What they do is, you know, there are some things that could happen in surgery that might normally possibly happen, they're trying to protect themselves against. But if it's a flagrant removing the wrong leg type of situation, I think they're still be liable.
Yeah.
And there are lawsuits. All of these hospitals and doctors get you to sign something very similar to that. It doesn't totally always relieve them of possibility if they really, really screw up bad.
Yeah,
and that's
I was
why
thinking
they all
about
have
not going there.
Insurance.
I was thinking about not going there for the very reason, you know.
Well, you could go to get a second opinion and see what kind of documents they get you to sign.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, you have about 10 minutes left in the show. You have a toll-free number at 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. I'd be more than glad to help you. Let's go to Kyle in Tampa.
Hey, buddy. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. I have another question. I was just wondering, I had done unemployment, and I have like 54 weeks left on it, and they only gave me until the 24th, and every time I put in anything, it doesn't allow me to do anything, so like it keeps on shutting off. Is there a company that I can go through that actually helps me with that, do you know?
Is this a workman's comp thing?
No, it's actually unemployment. I've been trying to get for over a year, trying to figure out. They've been dealing with it. Now they have everything popped up as 52 weeks, 52 or 50 something weeks. I have to go back so to get all the COVID-19, whatever they call it, something.
Yeah, Kyle, I'll tell you what. I think the best choice for you to do would be to call the Hillsborough Bar Association.
Okay.
And ask for a pro bono attorney to help you with with your unemployment situation.
Okay.
They should have some volunteer attorneys with the Bar Association there that could probably help someone like yourself.
Okay, Hillsborough Bar Association.
Yes, sir.
Do you have that number by any chance?
No, not here on me, right?
Okay. One other thing. I was asking you about the electric or water bill thing, and you gave me a phone number and we broke out. Was it 727-8586-3306, extension 116?
Yes, sir. That's it.
Thanks.
You got it.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Cool. Thank you. All right. So you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, we have a few more minutes. I'd love to take your call and try to help you, get you pointed in the right direction if I can. Toll-free number is 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open. I'd be more than happy to try to assist you, get you pointed in the right direction, talk about a legal situation with you. If I can help you, please call 800-969-9352. The other seminar that I'm involved in this week is at Sola Vida, which is a gated community, nice gated, big gated community with golf course and all that kind of things there in Polk County. And I am speaking at 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning at that. And but that's a private event. You have to live in Sola Vida. So if you happen to be listening this morning from Sola Vida and would like to attend Asset Protection Estate Planning Seminar, give us a call. And look forward to seeing you there. It's in the fitness center. They're down there, what they call Main Street, up on the second floor, and be more than glad to do. And having said all that, if you live, if you belong to a club, Kiwanis Rotary, Retirement AARP, church group, and have speakers come in, I'm always love to do those. I've got one coming up in a few weeks. I'll announce within the next week or so at Indian Rocks Baptist Church. So I speak at a lot of churches as well. But if you have a group of any type that you attend and they have speakers, I'd love to attend. There's no charge or anything for that. All you have to do is call our office, and we'll make the arrangements, and I'll be there. So it's 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529 if you want to arrange that. Let's go to Robert calling from Pinellas County here.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you?
Very well. Very well. Small business owner, just started about 3 months ago, LLC, production-based environment. I have a couple, or really just one, labor law question as I bring entry-level positions into the factory. The positions are heavily production-based, so attendance is key. And that's my number one issue today, is that I have employees that maybe they feel they want to work, but they have a valid excuse every day. The car is broke, the baby's sick. You know, there's something that keeps them coming to work. And I'll give you example one and then look for your response. Example one is a young person that came to work, and in their first 40 hours of availability, this person worked for 11.25 hours. Now, that's unacceptable for me as a business owner, because that station in the business cannot be left empty. How do I make quick decisions, and how does that affect my unemployment insurance? Thank you.
Well, I would set up some general rules that would apply to everyone. You know, if you're late on your third time you're late, you get a warning. And then the next time you're late, you're on suspension. You know, you're on probation. And the next time you're late within a time period, like a month or 2 months or 3 months or whatever time, set up some general rules. And
that's
enforce
them all equally. The challenge that I'm having is those rules need to be within, you know, 7 days for me to make a decision that, you know, is it possible for me to put that in the agreement, in the offer letter? You need to be at work these 40 hours and prove that you can join the workforce.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that. You set up a probationary time to start with. You're not considered a permanent employee until after 90 days. In the first 90 days.
And then
days,
I use that information if there's any Florida state unemployment increases. Now, I haven't gone through any of that yet, of course, brand new LLC, but just preparing, if you will.
Yes, you're definitely allowed to have a probationary period to start. If you terminate for cause and you've kept good records of what the cause was, they're not laid off or anything, so it shouldn't really affect your employment rate if they're terminated for cause.
Okay, very good. And I don't think I'm alone out there, small business owners looking, you know, I'm four employees looking for about 15 by the end of the year, and there's a lot of us out there. So thank you very much. You've helped me, and good luck and great program. Thank you. Good day.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I'm a small business owner, really. I mean, I've got 25 employees, but that's considered a small business owner. Some people have a mixture. I have a mixture of full and part-time people. And basically, you know, there are rules that, you know, if you're going to be late, there are certain rules, there are certain exceptions. Like some people might have IT jobs where they're expected many hours off of the regular standard hours and things like that. A lot of them work part-time, and I have a lot of flexibility with some of my part-time people. But if you have a fixed position where you need somebody there, you need them there on time to answer the phones, for example. You need somebody there on time. So, hey, thanks for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Be back next week at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. I hope you have a great, great weekend. Celebrate our great country and celebrate D-Day and what all that means. And you have a great Sunday. So long.